Okay, I'm recording on it. Can you say something to see if I get a level here?
Huh? Yes, okay. I'm trying to talk. I'm talking through speakerphone because I don't have my headphones.
All right. All right, that's what I'm doing, a speakerphone. Okay, so our biggest surprise is let's just go from the top. We don't feel there's any significant Best Picture surprises, do we? I mean, we were kind of, except I'd just like to know what has happened to all the people who said that Saving Mr. Banks was a lock. They're not, you know, everybody's like pretending, who, me? I didn't say that.
No, I didn't think it was a lock. I mean,
it's been in the conversation as a almost certain Best Picture nominee every step of the way. Come on, Scott Feinberg, everybody.
I know. Well, you're the one who flew to London to see it, dude. you're the one who was championing the screenplay. You're the one who said it was going to win Best Picture, remember? That just shows you should learn your lesson from that.
I said it was going to win Best Picture?
I don't care. I'm not a high-fiver like you are. I mean, I feel bad. I feel bad that Emma Thompson had to pay the price for that. And I feel bad that Kelly Marcel had to pay the price for that. And I feel bad that Sarah Polley didn't get nominated. And has, Blackfish, Gabriella, you know, whatever her last name is, Copter Wayne, didn't get nominated. I mean, women got fucked.
I'm actually rather surprised. I really do respect, and I'm sorry about the screenplay nomination not going to Kelly Marcel. I'm sorry that didn't happen. I believe that she did a very, very good job.
Well, they're PC'd it to death. You know, it got PC'd. It got killed by political correctness. That's what happened to Saving Mr. Banks.
Killed by political correctness? How about killed by the fact that people don't like a woman like P.L. Travers getting depicted as a harsh, you know, emotionally constricted schoolmarm who is neurotic and despises all mirth and happiness and can't stand songs?
I know. I understand all that. I totally get it. That's fine. But just like with the health, I don't always understand why it's the performers and the artists who have to pay the price for that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a decision made higher up to tell that story that way. Maybe you can say that's Kelly Marcel's fault, quote-unquote. But I can tell you something. Saving Mr. Banks, as I told you when I first saw it, was a film told from Disney's point of view. It's a Disney movie about a Disney movie.
Yeah.
And they're not going to display the lesbianism. They're not going to show Disney as having, you know, done something terrible to Kelly Marcel's writing and, you know, all of that. But the truth about Saving Mr. Banks isn't so much that they didn't like it. It's that they liked other movies more, namely The Latecomers, American Hustle. And American Hustle took Amy Adams, took Emma Thompson's spot. She didn't take Meryl Streep's spot, as everybody assumed she would. Are you kidding me? You think they're going to fucking shut out Meryl Streep for that performance? The actors?
Yeah.
But they cut out, Emma Thompson took, and Amy Adams, who is subpar in American Hustle.
She's what in what are you calling her in American Hustle?
Subpar.
Yeah, okay. Well, Sasha, wait a minute, hold on. David Poland has been saying she should win. He's like really, really riding the Amy Adams horse. He's got to...
all these guys like David Poland, they should masturbate before they write their Oscar call. Masturbate before they pick their winners.
And get that over with.
Get it out of the way, get it out of their system, and then they can start judging things more fairly. Because, Amy Adams walks around without a bra. She's fucking guys in every scene, but her character goes nowhere. There is no substance to her. She is a complete cipher. I know guys love her. They do. All the men love Amy Adams in this movie, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out why.
Yeah.
But I totally get it. I think she's a good actress. I think sometimes she's bad, and to me, she's bad in American Hustle, and she's bad in Julie and Julia.
I don't know. I thought I was very taken with how supple her emotional range and her the way she found sort of new ways to go in each line. Almost she was really working with David O. Russell in delivering something.
She's working. She's all dressed up with nowhere to go. Her character is a lot of emotion and seriousness.
Yeah.
With no point to it. There's nothing to it. There's no character there. There's nothing underneath her. All she is I'm seducing this guy, I'm seducing that guy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's her whole character.
I have to agree. At the end of American Hustle, I'm wondering myself, she goes back with Christian Bale just because he burns the FBI and she's kind of feels that allegiance with him. I didn't really feel that at the end at all, you know?
I didn't either. I also never thought that those two beautiful, sexy women would have fought over him. I mean, I know she said it in the beginning that he had this easy charm about him. See, that's the thing I think about American Hustle. Oh, God, I'll get in so much trouble for this, but I really think guys live vicariously through Christian Bale, as they often do. And, you know, they are Christian Bale. They would love to have those two women fighting over them. You know, and they don't see it. It's the same with her, you know, like, I love her, it's one of my favorite movies of the year, but the reason it's so popular with internet film critics is that it has a central male figure, you know, who has Scarlett Johansson, you know, in the palm of his hand. I mean,
wait a minute, come on, Sasha, you're not going to depict her in sexist terms, are you? This is a film that's...
I think that the reason it strikes a chord with so many men is that...
You didn't strike a chord with you? You didn't feel that there was vulnerability and delicacy and genuine sadness going on in her? Why would you...
Oh, listen, it's one of my favorite movies of the year. I'm not saying anything bad about it. I'm simply making the point that I think it affects certain people a certain way because it's this, you know, internet loner.
Oh.
So it captivated by this. But I loved it. It is one of my favorite movies of the year. I absolutely, like, top five favorite movies.
All right. Yeah, me too.
My real favorite movie of the year, the number one movie of the year, the fucking masterpiece of all time, Wolf of Wall Street. I'm so happy that it got picture, director, screenplay, actor, and supporting actor. It didn't get editing, which means that it can't win this picture, unfortunately.
No, we knew it can't win, but I think it's got the strong support within a certain sector of the Academy, and that's enough. I know it's not going to win, you know. It's just,
yeah, you know who could win is Leonardo.
Maybe. Yeah,
he
maybe.
He could finally win. I mean, he has to beat Matthew McConaughey and Bruce Dern, who are both really overdue,
And they've got those wonderful narratives, as many of us have commented. McConaughey has an excellent narrative, as does Dern. I don't know which of the two comes out ahead. Maybe, you know, I think still McConaughey, but I would be delighted if the Academy gave it to Leo. He, after all, has been nominated many times, should have been nominated, doing all these killer performances. How interesting and how ironic in a good way that dark comedy is the thing that actually does it for him. So.
Yeah. I'm having a hard time hearing you because I'm driving.
I'm saying how ironic that dark comedy, bitter dark comedy, sardonic dark comedy is the tone of the performance that seems to hit the biggest for him so far. So,
yeah. I think you were talking about Leo and Wolf.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Anyway, I went to a screening of my sixth viewing of Wolf last night.
Uh huh.
And it was a Q&A moderated afterwards with Paul Thomas Anderson and Scorsese. It was so fantastic. And then their assistant director, I can't remember his name, but he was in the middle. And apparently it came out, first of all, it was great because Scorsese totally addressed all the stupid faux hysteria around the movie, which is just, but the hysteria and controversy, quote unquote, is some people didn't really get the humor.
Can you just tell me, where was this screening with Paul Thomas Anderson and Marty? Where did that happen?
That happened at ICM in Century City. And I found out one interesting factoid I wanted to share with you, which was that Steven Spielberg came on set the day that they were filming the wonderful scene where Leo is like, I'm not leaving. I'm not fucking leaving.
Oh,
And Spielberg helped him direct that. And Scorsese said he wouldn't leave. He just was like so excited. They were like, let's put the camera here and let's put the camera there. And I was like, they both kind of co-directed that scene.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
And that's such a great scene.
I mean, the movie, the
more I see it, the more I think it's just a masterpiece that doesn't have one false note.
Yeah. I prefer, as far as the speech in front of the Stratton Oakmont group, I prefer personally the scene where he says, "You're about to get kicked out of your apartment. Good, pick up the phone."
Oh God, yeah. That scene. That is Leo's maybe Oscar-winning scene right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that one. There's a lot of them.
Right.
But that one is just Wow. And, you know, the more you see the movie, the more you can really dig into his performance, right. Because at first you're just kind of like, so much is flying at you at yeah. once. As with most Scorsese movies, he throws so many things on the table, you know. But he also said that he and Thelma Shoemaker, unfortunately, was shut out, which he should not have been for editing.
That's surprising and bizarre, and I don't know, but I guess that means obviously what we know, which is that it's not going to win Best Picture. But I still don't even know why.
It wasn't going to win anyway, you know. I mean, yeah. those right. softies, there's not.
Right.
But yeah. He said that they were trying to make a movie where everything happened really, 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 really fast, and then it would suddenly slow down for a conversation.
Yeah.
And he deliberately filmed it that way so that you were like kind of taken aback by how long this conversation was going on.
Right.
And then it would just be like, you know, full speed ahead again. And then slow down again. And he really, you know, I really see that rhythm in it. I think that's one of the reasons why it's such an enjoyable film to watch, is because of that rhythm he's got.
So why was Sasha, one thing about the about Jonah Hill, no one's I've been mentioning Jonah Hill a lot, and I guess you have. Nobody, either the people who are strictly on the predicting side with no personal passion of their own, or no particular advocates have been really talking about him that much, have they? I mean, let's recount it.
The night before the Oscar nominations, people like Chris Tapley and Brad Brubbett and those guys, they had predicted Martin Scorsese to get shut out. They were assuming what I was assuming. I didn't take Scorsese off my list. You couldn't have tied me up to your chair and forced me. I would never have.
Yeah.
But they thought that he was too gross for the Academy, and that, you know, the grossest thing about Wolf of Wall Street is Jonah Hill. But Chris was one of the first people to say that he thought that Jonah Hill would get a nomination way before anybody even saw the movie. So it was definitely a possibility. I think that Jonah Hill was nominated really shows that the actors liked it a lot, you know, which makes a big difference. They didn't like any movie as much as they liked American Hustle, however.
Yeah.
So that really should be the big story of the day. You and I are both kind of bored by talking about it, I know. For some reason, people love it. I have no idea why. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think it's an entertaining movie. I'm surprised that people love it that much.
Yeah.
Because I remember Ann Thompson writing that article. Poor Ann Thompson, this is going to haunt her for her last days. But writing an article about how, you know, that's the kind of the problem with the way we do the Oscars now, is everything happens so fast. You see a screening and you're expected to give an instant take. Well, all of us coming out of that first screening, me and Chris Chapley and Steve Pond and Ann Thompson, all thought, you know, yeah, it's entertaining, but it's not an Oscar movie, or it's not good enough to be an Oscar movie.
Yeah.
Something is not good, it's just like kind of sloppy, and it's okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
But as soon as it won the New York Film Critics, the perception of it just changed, and people thought, okay, it's okay to like this movie, so I'm going to like this movie.
Right.
They like Chris Willman and, you know, the New York Film Critics, they're all like, you know, getting their funk on with American Hustle. They like it. It's fine to me. To me, it's a good movie. It's better than Silver Linings. It's enjoyable. But at the end of the day, there's nothing to it. I prefer Wolf of Wall Street and movies that have substance to them. To me, that matter. I don't like movies that are about nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
Inside Llewyn Davis almost totally shut out. It got like a sound editing and cinematography.
Didn't even get. Am I right? Didn't it even miss Best Song?
Oh, that's a good question. No, it didn't get Best Song. It wasn't eligible for Please, Mr.
Kennedy. Please, Mr. Kennedy was not eligible for Best Song. Is that right?
No.
Because it was borrowed from a earlier song that actually was out in the 60s. Is that it? Do you remember why it was ineligible?
I think so. Well, it's weird. The Inside Llewyn Davis shut out is bizarre and inexplicable to me. I don't know how Oscar voters didn't like that movie, and they liked American Hustle so much. There's just some things about human nature I will never understand, and that's one of them.
Well, obviously people, a majority of people feel less than they don't feel like celebrating a movie as that they feel is dour and downbeat and cynical about human nature and which looks at the fortunes of a guy who's talented but not talented enough, who's not going to make it, who's going down, 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 and it's about basically about his journey of acceptance that I am not going to make it in this field. It's they don't find it. You know, doesn't lift them up, or you know, they want something for them. You know how it is, and so that's why. But you get past that, and you become, and you say, well, okay, yes, it's not a happy movie, but it sure is a great one. You know,
right.
But nobody.
I think they figured that ahead of time, like they knew that was happening, and that's why they kind of celebrated the music.
Yeah.
But the problem with celebrating the music is that you kind of think you're in for a movie where. It's about celebrating the music, and I'm sorry, Mr. T-Bone Burnett, man that I love, but no, it makes fun of folk music, that movie, in a way, in the same way that, like, Bob Dylan made fun of folk music, and it was, like, so dodgy and stiff and annoying in the early days, and then Dylan came along and just shattered it, but, so, you know, you hear all the wonderful music, and then you go see a movie, and it's sort of like, wow, this is kind of a bummer about the music.
Yeah.
But I also think that people, like, in the real world tend to identify, and critics, certainly, because critics are, a lot of them, failed filmmakers, failed writers, And people in the industry aren't, or they don't like to think of themselves that way, even if they are, and so I'm sure that to them, you know, that they're frustrated with
that character.
They don't understand him, and people who have struggled all their lives to try to make something happen and nothing ever happens do understand him, do relate to him, And it's a shame that they didn't pick one of the best films of the year to be named as one of the best films of the year, but we know the Oscars are a game.
Yeah.
And so we know that. They're a game. They have very little to do with quality, all to do with buzz. I tell you, next year, 2 years from now, nobody's going to even want to watch American Hustle. Again, I don't mean to bash the movie. I think it's a good movie. I'm just saying it's like Argo. It's just one of those sort of temporary, entertaining things that's right in front of you, you know?
As I said, like, 25 or 50 years from now, it's going to be Wolf of Wall Street, Inside Llewyn Davis, maybe Dallas Buyers Club. That's about it. You know, those are the ones that are going to be remembered a half century from now. Not, you know, all these. I don't. You know, maybe even Nebraska. When you think about it, Nebraska, I respect. I respect Nebraska. So maybe, you know.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, Her, I think, is a good one. Her is going to last.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick two movies I thought would really stand the test of time, it would be Wolf of Wall Street, of course, because the more people see it over the next many years, they're going to see how it is the epitome of 2013. I mean, it is our time, just perfectly the same way that
The
Clockwork Orange epitomized its time, you know, it's that kind of movie. Dr. Strangelove, I mean, it's right up there with those kind of movies, and then Her, you know, it's another one that's just really, really good. Inside Llewyn Davis is also good. It's weird that they shut it out. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. So, was there any surprises in the tech categories? There was cinematography. At least Inside Llewyn Davis's Bruno Del Bonel got nominated, and I heartily applaud also that Feed on Papa Michael, the the DP for Nebraska, got nominated, and Deacons from Prisoners got nominated, which is interesting.
Of course, he got nominated. The same reason that John Williams got nominated for The Book Thief. I mean, you know, they honor their elders, their esteemed elders. Gravity's going to win cinematography pretty easily. Gravity's going to win cinematography, visual effects, probably production design, maybe. 12 Years a Slave, I believe, is still going to win Best Picture.
Yeah.
And I think it'll win Best Director. I do think that the buzz of both Gravity and American Hustle, although listen, Jeff, I know this feeling. I know this sinking feeling I get. I recognize it every year, and sometimes it's an excited feeling that the movie I want to win is going to win, and then sometimes it's a sinking feeling that the movie I don't want to win is going to win.
Yeah.
I fear that movie is American Hustle. I think it could win the Producers Guild this weekend. So you have the Critics' Choice tonight.
Yeah.
Are you going? Oh, you're not. Critics' Choice Awards tonight, and then this weekend, I believe, are the SAG Awards and the Producers Guild Awards, right?
Yeah.
So remember last year how Argo won the broadcast, then it won the producers, then it won the SAG, all in one go. this year it could be American Hustle winning the SAG, American Hustle winning the Critics' Choice, American Hustle winning the Producers Guild, and that will be all she wrote. You know, it'll be over for 12 Years a Slave.
I guess I didn't even double check, even though I've been invited in the whole thing. But last year, when I went to the broadcast film critics out at the hangar at Santa Monica Airport, it was a daytime thing. It was held in the afternoon, late afternoon. Is happening, you're saying, in the evening, the BFCA Awards tonight, in the evening?
Starting at 5, yeah. I think it starts at 5.
5 p.m. California time, over by 7:30 or 8 California time. Okay.
As I recall, yes, yeah. It starts at 5.
All right. Okay. There's also significant, by the way, I love that my favorite of the five foreign language films, Omar, which I heartily recommend that you see if you haven't seen, it's really one of the better. I mean, they're selling it in the ads as a love story. It's hardly that. It's just a really strong, penetrating, a creepy, strong, you know, memorable a sort of espionage thriller on a sort of a low level of the informant and the Israeli who sort of handles him and manipulates him. It's really, really good, and it's got an amazing ending, and it's good. Really, really worthwhile.
Yeah. I know, I actually predicted that one to get nominated, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
So
how many altogether, Sasha, do you account, how many did American Hustle take altogether?
10
nominations for American Hustle versus how many for Gravity?
I'll read you the list right here. I have it. American Hustle and Gravity lead with 10.
Yeah.
12 Years a Slave, Captain Phillips, I can't see my eyes. It looks like 12 Years a Slave has 9. Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, and Nebraska have 6. Her and Wolf of Wall Street have 5. Philomena has 4. Blue Jasmine has 3.
Right.
Blue Jasmine has 3. The Hobbit has 3. August Osage County 2. Go. So Lone Survivor, Lone Ranger, Inside Llewyn Davis, Great Gatsby, Grandmaster, Frozen, and Despicable Me 2, and August Osage County all have 2 nominations each.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to write something up because I have to do that and then start doing the Sundance Film Festival, or at least getting my pass and doing the whole thing. So, but it's been lovely to speak with you. Was this your, how many times have you done this now, Sasha? Gone to the actual Academy and...
You mean, how many years have I been blogging about the Oscars?
No, how many times have you actually attended the ceremony in the morning live with the announcing...
Yeah. That was today. It was the first and only time.
Okay.
I just did it to see what it was like, and it's kind of fun to be able to get the nominations list before it comes out. That's
right.
The one good thing about it.
Right.
The Academy, they run such a well-oiled machine. Anytime you have to deal with them at all, it's like a grade A+ in organization.
Right.
You never are in any way inconvenienced.
Right.
That's one of the things nice about either going to the ceremony or going to the nominations announcement. It's just...
Right.
Yeah, they treat you really, really well, and a lot of places don't treat the press very well. But
they understand. They fed you really well this morning, right?
There's a huge breakfast spread when I got there. Yeah, I had no idea that they would be that way, but yeah, they really pulled out the stops: oatmeal, you know, eggs, muffins, coffee, juice.
Okay. So you all sat down and sort of huddled down there. You and Scott Feinberg and Pete Hammond and Tom O'Neill and everybody else. And then you went upstairs.
It's just me and Pete, and a lot of publicists were there. The publicists like Karen Fried and Lee Ginsberg and Michelle Robertson, they were all there, probably just waiting to see how it all turned out. But
that's good.
But yeah, it was trippy. It's trippy. You know, I have some really sad disappointments. I'm really bummed out that Blackfish didn't get a nomination, because I really think that they needed that kind of publicity for... to keep the fight going against SeaWorld, and I just don't see how anybody's going to take it seriously now that it didn't get a nomination, but hopefully it will continue to. And they give it to Cutie and the Boxer, that stupid movie. I knew that they would give a nomination to that one. I just knew it.
That is a very persistent nominee. It keeps turning up. I don't know. It obviously does something. It clicks with people. You felt it was a stupid movie because it was marginal. It's not vital. It's not it doesn't tap into anything. Is that what you're saying about that film?
I'll say another thing that'll get your readers all pissed off at me, but I guess I'll just avoid Hollywood Outsider for the next couple of weeks. But what is he like? He's like a 45-year-old man, and she's like 17, or she's 19, and he's 50, or something like that. And they get together. I'm tired of that storyline. Really, does it always have to be that? I know the Academy are like 50-ish white men. But God,
Yeah.
So, until their demographics change, their choices are never going to change.
Alrighty. Well, lovely speaking with you, and have a good day, and we'll be doing our reporting about BFCA later today.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, take care, dude.
Bye-bye.